We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Yeah. Oh boy, I was actually very close to what we're going to be 20 seconds late. And I go to hit record and everything, my roadcaster just went poing in my ears. And you're like, I can't hear you. And I'm like, oh, here we go. So the roadcaster decided to do a little update. So then when I was just saying the open and I looked down to see where John's sounds are, and because it had to update, it wasn't on the correct page. And I'm like, while I'm speaking, I'm like, get to the page.
panic.
Oh yeah. So how are you doing? Coming in hot, Steve. And I know you've had heck of a day. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, heck of a week, man. This is the fourth day in a row of on call and court duty. I've been on call all over the bank holiday weekend, and it has been manic. Just alleged criminals coming out of the woodwork. Just endless phone calls. You know, oh, I've been arrested. Oh, I'm in court. Oh, goodness me. So I'm operating on about 4 hours sleep, five hours sleep probably from the last 3 days. And if you look, you probably can't quite tell, but I burst a blood vessel in my eye at the weekend. Just one of those things. And so I had this kind of vampire eye for the entire weekend, which is really awkward because people just stare.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been a week.
Yeah.
But I have been in the theater. I've seen some cool stuff. In fact, I've seen one very cool thing this week.
I think I know which one it is.
So it's been okay. I am very, very tired though. I've had a couple of caffeine tablets. So if that should get me through the next hour and a half or so.
There you go.
But if you hear snoring Deej, it's me. Just shout into the, you know, microphone. It'll wake me up.
Yeah, exactly. You and me both.
Oh man. Yeah. So how are you?
Good. Glad to be sitting down here. We're cutting this one short by a half hour as well. I got to get back. Like I was telling you before, I got about 2 to 3 hours worth of work and about an hour and a half of sunlight after, if I get out of here at 6:30. So, just big push for, cause weather is going bad the next, literally the next week. So I'm trying to get a bunch of stuff done that's outside and like I was explaining to you, I have a stack of lumber and like some of the stuff at the bottom of the stack has to go in the house before the rain comes. But the most of the stuff on the top it's all decking. So I'm like, okay, I'm working trying to get the deck done and I might as well just do it. So like I'm trying to do the stairs and, one of the things I did, I was, this is, so I'll bring up this image here for everybody. It's pretty funny. I got home from work. That's the other thing. I'm trying to work before the rain hits. Just these two steps alone, because the posts are in the way. Those two steps took me an hour and a half. I haven't done a deck in like 6 or 7 years. So I'm like, all right, how do I get my measurements right and everything and all this? And I'm like, I screwed up each piece once and then had to redo it, but then just to get those openings right and then get them in and blah, 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 blah. But now the rest of the way up, it's just cut place. So I should be able to get all that stuff. And all of this decking is on top of the stuff I got to put inside. So instead of moving it twice, I'm like, cut it, put it in place. And then I can get all the lumber inside. And by the way, the lumber that I'm very concerned about, is actually for the theater. So I don't want sitting out in the woods getting warped and bothered.
It's good to see you've invested your money in another thermal detonator, Teach.
Oh, you saw little guy there. I just noticed that too. And you hadn't even said thermal detonator yet. and I knew where you were going because I looked down as I was taking the image down. I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's pretty funny. So for people that don't know, this is what Steve's talking about right here. This little guy right here. It's a little rock. DJ's for collecting, audio only. Yeah.
Collecting thermal detonators.
Yeah. Really funny. We can tell her, but you almost didn't make it today.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, were it not for, fortunately, my boss doing about 80 to 90 miles an hour up our, you know, motorways, we call them, freeways, you call them. I would be at a police station right now. And I'm not sure I should live stream an interview. It wouldn't look good. I mean, look, it's like NCIS Bristol. Yeah. But, you know, so it's very realistic, but I'm not sure they'd appreciate it.
Yeah. And funny, you texted me, what, like 9 this morning or 9 my time, something like that, I think. And I was like, okay. I started thinking, I'm like, I could grab somebody, but I'm like, short notice for somebody. I'm like, and now I was like, I started by myself. I can do it. I'll just talk to the people in the chat or something. Or I'm like, I don't have a lot myself experiences. Like you do, so there wouldn't be much. But then I was like, hey, show must go on. I'll find a way. And it will make it. It would have been fun. It would have been fun to get back to my roots. But yeah, glad you, when I got your text, you're like, all right, looks good. And then later on, you're like, I'm all set. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, me too. I don't like to let you down, but also, it's not like the old days when we first went live, we had like 7 people in the chat and we think that was really busy. And 3 of those people were us, you know, it was,
because we went onto the chat just to boost the numbers.
Yeah. Well, quite. That's the thing. So then it's tricky, isn't it? Cause you're kind of talking to yourself for an hour and a half. Whereas now everyone is so juiced in the chat that you could literally do a show where, come on, what do you want? Like all request Tuesday, you know, you jump in. What do you want to know? What do you want to ask? And you can do a show like that easily, but luckily you don't have to.
I don't have to, but I did notice I'm sure you noticed last week, our numbers were down a little bit by about a third. Right. And we were I was like, I haven't been on Twitter. I didn't re-release your thing. And our numbers here that you and I see are between YouTube and our 2 Twitter feeds. And we're seeing like we get all the numbers here. And I was like, oh, so this today I was going to make sure to jump onto Twitter and retweet it. Still didn't have a chance. And I literally haven't even been on Twitter in a week, I think. I literally haven't had a chance. I've been too busy and when I get a chance, I'm like, all right, I should check it, but I don't have time because I know if I go there, I'll just be like, hi, I want to say this.
Shawshanked.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't have time to get Shawshanked. So I'm just like, I'm sorry to everybody. If you're commenting on Twitter or talking to me, I will come back. But if you need to get a hold of me, email me, please. I was actually going to change. I've got ideas for the show. I was going to change my header underneath my name here and put just like, you know, my email address, but I do get emails, but they just stay there. And it's like, I either push them off to the show or if it's urgent, put DJ urgent in subject. And then you can tell me about the scene or whatever you wanted to talk about. But, I have so much fun on Twitter. I really can't afford to go there.
The big news of today, if we're talking Twitter, is Todd has got his that ginormous subwoofer up and running.
He
spent 8 hours having it installed.
All right,
because he was on the line. So yeah, so there's pictures of that up there of him looking very smug.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, rightly so, because we all would too.
And see that's exactly the point. It's like I would have ended up on there. I would have, and I would have lost track of my day. I wouldn't have been as productive. So if Todd calls me or texts me, I'll see that and then I can get, you know, but yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good for him. He's had that thing for like over a year.
Yeah, he has. It looks like a washing machine.
Yeah, I know.
And yet, and even then a big one.
Yeah.
So he's had to get online to Germany and kind of all this stuff, and they've had to tweak it and set it up. Yep. So, it's looking cool. But other than that, you haven't missed much. Do you have your sad sounder ready? Did your last post sounder ready? Because one thing that was tweeted Yeah. Adriano tweeted to me this morning to say it was 27 years ago today that The Fifth Element was released in cinemas.
I guess this isn't appropriate, but
not for me. It's not.
That's funny.
A moment of silence, of mourning, the day the music died.
Oh, luckily you're still a home theater fan. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. You couldn't shake me of that.
Yeah, wrong way. You didn't turn off entirely to the
No, of course. No, oh, I'm doing it a different way as well. There you go. Yeah, no, it's still there.
Yeah.
But covered by the facehugger, rightly so.
Yeah.
Shall I quickly say hi to everyone in the chat? Just quickly say hello.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So this week's first entrance was Steve At, who was in at 8:12 PM your time. So what, hour and 48 minutes before we were due to go on. So well done, Steve. Van Gool's in. Hi, Van Gool. Mikey's in. Third in. Mikey, come on. You're letting it slip, buddy. Come on. You've got to get on top of that. You're a physical education teacher. You need to be first.
I'm going back and I'm like, these are all well before the show. Even Mikey getting in, it's like 19 minutes before we get on. I wasn't even home yet. Mikey's already in, right? I'm not even here.
I hadn't even woken up. then we've got Van Gool's in. Hi, Van Gool. Dom's in. Hi, Dom. We've got Paul Hurt, obviously, is in. Well, I'm Paul. Good to see you. Although some slightly controversial topics about he doesn't own any version of Terminator 2, Deej.
I mean, that's okay.
Isn't that some sort of home theater sin? Should be.
No more than me sitting in Mikey's theater and him going, I go, oh, let's watch Star Wars. Can't help you. I was like, what? Mark to each his own. Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go.
Everybody knows.
I'll blame him then.
You can blame
Marcus Beebs in. Hi, Marcus. Marcus. And we've got obviously Jordan's in. Bill McAllister's in. Jan's in from Montserrat. Good to see you guys. And let's see who else we got. Brockstar's in. John's just checking in. Rick, top 40 hub. Isn't you?
Oh.
Saying, hey, guys.
Hey, nice. Rick. Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you're new, thanks for saying hi. And if you're not new, apologies. We'd forgotten you. But we mean it respectfully.
Yeah.
And there you go. They're awesome. In and they're rocking.
Nice. Nice. Looks good. What's the matter?
Can we ban him, please, Deej? Have we got your ban hammer ready?
No. We don't ban anybody. I don't care if you watch Judge Dredd. Okay.
Could be
your favorite movie. I'm fine with that.
This is Jordan saying now he has to watch The Fifth Element on 4K again.
Don't
do it. Don't do it, Jordan. Don't do it.
So I got this. I mean, Steve, you can see a little behind the scenes here. You're probably wondering, like, what is that? That's not really
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, that's exactly. So when you're building, and I got this Van Gool earlier. I saw this while you were listening to everybody. DJ could just talk about the house for an hour. That's the last thing I want to do to you guys because I know you're probably getting sick of it. It is all that's on my mind. It's all that I can do. And I feel bad about that. And I really didn't want to do that. And I would have made every effort not to just talk about that. Along those lines, you're working on a house, like any project, you're back and forth to Home Depot. We have the local lumber yard in our town is called Koopman's. So I head over there and I'm in the aisle. I got some things I got to get electrical and everything. And, a buddy of mine comes by and he goes, I've known this guy 20 years. We played hockey together, 20 plus years. And he stops in the aisle and he looks back and goes, DJ. And I was like, I haven't seen him in 5 or 6. And I was like, hey, what's happening? So we start talking. We sat there for over 2 hours in that aisle talking. Okay. He tells me he used to live down where my brother lives. Now he lives closer to me here in a town, the next town over. And I'm like, why'd you move out here? Cause he had a beautiful house out by my sister. And he's like, I wanted to be closer to my daughter. And I go, all right. And he goes, she lives in Douglas. I go, where? And he lists the road. I go, that's like intersects with my road. And he goes, yeah, you go up and go past the baseball field and stuff. Nope. Nope. Just take a left off your daughter's road and it's right there. He's like, are you kidding me? And he gives me the description. I get back to my house. I text him this. I go, is that your daughter's house? And he goes, yep. And I go, that's a view from my deck. His daughter's house, I can see through the woods. Once the foliage fills in, I won't be able to see it. But I'm
probably
like,
for the fed best.
Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? Now here's where it gets real fun. I've known this guy, like I said, over 20 years. He's a home theater fan. He knows the podcast. He has a theater. Mm. He built his theater in his new house listening to the show. Got some
there
tips.
There we go.
That's so you can see why now he's like, oh, I'm going to have to come by. I was like, yeah, we'll make a path. I'm like, come over and see your daughter. Come over here. But we were talking all about home theater. We talked hockey too. But yeah, I'm like, I didn't know you were into home theater. And he goes, I didn't know you were into home theater. And I had some issues. So I started, you know, Googling stuff and your stuff came up. I didn't know it was you. And then I watched the video. He's like, I know that guy. I was like, what the? Why didn't you reach out to me? So, but, so potential, takeover Tuesday coming when the theaters, when the podcast studio is done, because he'll definitely be in.
Yeah, so Steve Hatt says he hopes his daughter wasn't one of those visiting your place.
Oh, I know.
The theater lurkers, as Rick says.
That would be funny. I was like, no. I don't think so. His daughter is early 30s. So the everybody I saw, I think, was older than that. So, but yeah. We got some...
small world.
Yeah, it really small. And then start moving in next door to you. There's some listener updates here. John Brock sent this one. Him and Chris Deering. He got his system calibrated from Chris Deering in his house. And then we also have, check this out. I'll play this. You can't hear the audio.
Oh, yeah. I saw this. Yeah.
Oh, man. Did they put it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Did they put it? Okay.
Yeah, the video. Yeah.
This is Nelson's Theater. And he has obviously a scope screen here, but he did want to get that IMAX enhanced or that IMAX version. So he had this installed. Boom. Look at that. Isn't that cool? Whoop. It's a little thinner than the scope, but obviously it's taller. So you're getting that full. I mean, you're taking it in it and the cool factor of it, the coolness factor. Ralph Potts has a similar setup to this. But yeah, all mounted up into the ceiling. Danny Speakers went down there, helped Nelson put it all together. I mean, coolness factor right there is just so cool. You know, like, oh, let's watch, an IMAX movie. Okay. There you go. Isn't that awesome? So, yeah. And then, I mean, Nelson sent me the video and he thanked me for putting him and Danny together. And I'm like, no, guys, thank you. This is so much fun. I'm glad you guys got together. But yeah, so that was pretty cool. And quick update. I told you last week about Jen and the size of the stove.
No,
I think it's almost as tall as her. Yeah, she is. So got that all in place and built the walls around it. So when that lady decides to come back, she's all set. She can understand. So,
well, you know what though? She'll think that it was her idea. She'll be like, exactly. Look, now they've done. See, they did what I told them to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And have they finished the basement yet? Because I don't think they're finishing the basement.
Nope.
Oh,
so
man.
Funny. So funny.
So your sign has kept people at bay this week, then, has it, Deej? Your ring sign, has it kept people at bay this week? No more visitors?
Yes, absolutely. No more visitors. We haven't had any visitors. None. It really worked. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, okay. So nothing, you know, which is really cool. So, yeah. Yeah, so just keeping busy. All right.
Yes.
What do we get? You ready to get to them? Which would you like to lead off?
Take your pick, Deej. Take your pick. I don't mind. You go. I'll go. No problem. Doesn't matter what.
All right. Let's go with this.
Okay. Yes.
All righty then. Let's go. Where is it? There we go. All right. Here we go.
Okay. So, this is Army of the Dead on Netflix, in 4K, Dolby Atmos, the whole shebang.
Now, can you start again? We lost you for a little bit there.
Did you lose me there? Did you?
It was big okay. I lost you there for a little bit. I don't know if everybody else did, okay. though.
Ooh, right. Okay, no worries. We can take two and action. Right, so this is Army of the Dead, then, on Netflix in 4K and Dolby Atmos. So now, why this? Why now again? I hear you cry. And you might have thought, Deej, that we'd already done this. But you and I talked about it on the second Takeover Tuesday that I did. We never actually talked about the quality of the movie, I don't think. So anyone that, you know, I might be wrong, but I don't think we did.
I thought we did.
Well, I don't think we did on the show. I think only Takeover Tuesday, because we just done all the lighting, hadn't we? And done all the things to match the poster. So I don't think we actually ever did it on the proper show, as it were.
Right.
And the reason that I watched this, a number of reasons. One, last Friday, I was due to do some assessments all day and only two students turned up. And so I had the rest of the day free. And I've seen recent Zack Snyder films, which have been rubbish, Rebel Moon. And I was still on a zombie kick from the movies we did last week with 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later and all that sort of stuff. And of course, Zack Snyder's own Dawn of the Dead. So I thought now is my time to revisit what I think is my favorite Netflix movie. I love this film. And so I thought, right, I had an afternoon free, more time than I normally had. It was unexpected. And I thought, you know what? Let's remind ourselves of what a good Zack Snyder movie is. So put that on and I watched it. And oh, it's just so good. I need this film on physical media, Deej. How can we make this happen? This is what I need. This is my white whale.
We're working our way up there. We really are. We're getting there. We're getting, we've got a great listenership. Numbers are changing. I mean, I'm doing my part for Bloodshot. But as a group, I think, and we got some pretty highfalutin listeners out there too, that actually have some pull in this area. So
have some clout. Yes.
It might actually happen someday. I'm not saying like this week, this year, but few years from now, who knows where we are? And all of a sudden be like, oh, after much request from a Brightside Home Theater podcast, who knows
Mr.
what
S.
it'll
George.
Be. We're canceling.
Fifth element. Yeah, we've taken out a restraining order on him, but we're also going to have an Army of the Dead physical release.
The best would be the Brightside Home Theater podcast double packaging of Evil Dead Rise and Fifth Element together. What would you
sort of
do?
Pleasure and pain.
Yeah, I'd be fine.
I would have a. I'd watch Evil Dead Rise and then ceremoniously burn the Fifth Element, sacrifice it to the Book of the Dead. The Necronomicon would have another victim. I love this movie. This film again, as much as I said last week about Steve's film. This is, my film all day long. I love this movie. Every second of it's great. And I can Shawshank this. I think I've seen it 8-9 times and I can just watch it and watch it and watch it. I think it's great. And I had a really fun Friday afternoon revisiting it again. And of course it's in 185. So it fills the screen. It's a really playful sound mix as well. The Atmos for streaming is really good. It's not Six Underground. It's not Extraction. It's not, you're not going to rearrange the room with it, but it's still very good and it fits the movie perfectly. So it looks great. I love all the playing of the shallow focus with the cameras. And of course, Snyder used some very unusual cameras with this. And there are extras on Netflix, bizarrely. So you can watch behind the scenes featurettes and you can see this little handheld camera thing that he's holding, which is kind of moving backwards and forwards. And so you get all this change in focus and some very close in shots, which actually very similar to Oppenheimer. You know, where you've got that really close. Yeah, yeah. Where you've got the really close in shot and yet, you know, the nose is in focus, but the eyes are not, or the ears are in focus and the, you know, the nose is not, you know, it's all this playing with depth of field. But that seems to me, it's too over analytical. Right. This just is a movie that just makes me feel good. So as much as I notice that stuff, I just really like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't really care.
Yeah. You know, as much as I talk about do on movies that you really like, and it gives you another reason. I mean, you know, the movie, you've seen it, you know, like me with Star Wars or any of these movies that I watch over and over, you get to find new things. It's not over analytical when it's, it's over analytical on your first viewing, right? If the first time you view a movie and you're like, well, this wasn't exactly now get emotional about the movie, get into the movie. Mm. Then we can get picky about, you know, what we get picky about. But yeah, that's the fun. That's why we revisit. That's why we tear things apart and praise things.
Absolutely. And just, it's just so much fun. And actually, Jordan, I did notice that Jordan says in there, he knows a few people that have rewatched it recently because Ella Purnell is in it, who stars in the Fallout TV series. Okay. I did recognize her and I thought, recognize her. It's really, really good. The incredible thing is I look at the date there, 2021. It's 3 years old. Wow. Where has that 3 years gone? Goodness me. But it's great. And I need Zack Snyder to get to work on the sequel, please. Cause we've had a prequel with, you know, where we've had Dieter's character, but we want our sequel. And cause there are deliberately things in this that are designed to kind of make you wonder, you know, some of the zombies have got blue eyes, you know, and look to be robotic. There is definitely a time loop thing going on. And so it would be, you know, we need the next slot. Forget Rebel Moon, Zach. Just let's have more of this, please.
I think people said that in the chat. It's like, yeah. I saw back on the chat that Brockstar is like, I haven't brought myself to watch it yet. Rebel Moon, that is, like, just based on, and I'm the same way. It's like, I said it a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, I'll just wait for the rated R version. I think that comes in August or something and I'll watch them.
Yeah. I get that. But Bill says Bill says he hasn't seen it yet. Now on the list, Bill, do yourself a favor.
Yeah,
if you're a zombie action movie fan, then, you know, put this to the top of that list. You'll have a great time with it. It's just popcorn entertainment and just let it wash over you. It's great. And I mean, in terms of specific scenes, I mean, much of the movie, as soon as they go into Vegas, you get all these amazing kind of, the audio is just awesome. Vegas. Yeah. And all the amazing scene, all the noise, the sounds, everything moving around, you know, at any time the guns go off, it just moves right around the room. And the HDR really sort of shines on the zombie tiger, which is in the trailer. So you see it.
Right.
And all the detail and everything like that. And if you look carefully, you can see through some of it. The skin is so threadbare, you can see through it. And the HDR brings all that to life. So it's just such a good film. I can endlessly watch this movie.
Yeah.
And someday I may.
It was quite the event when it came out too. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Well, we made it the event, didn't we? Because we color coded our theaters to it.
Yeah. And then did it come out on a Friday or so? I think I watched it on Sunday morning. I thought we did the show about it, but I know, or I'm sure I talked about it at some point, but yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it on Takeover Tuesday because we were getting excited about the colors. Cause, and anyone wondering, if you want to look on the website, I think under featured theaters, there's pictures of the, under my theater there, there's pictures of the poster and then the color coding that we did to that.
Yeah.
So if you go to brightsidehometheater.com and go on to featured theaters, you'll see it. And you did something similar, didn't you, Deej? You did color
your hue lighting. It's like it as well. We did the pink, purple and stuff all around and blue or something around the room. So it was, and it just, you know, my wife and I, it was a Sunday morning. We did our little thing, you know, breakfast thing. And then we're like, hey, it's, you know, tailgated before the movie. It was a lot of fun. And then, I mean, the room was decorated for it and you just go in, you hit play, the lights go down and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Vegas, the HDR, it's crazy. It's really, and Netflix knows how to do HDR and Atmos for streaming that makes you like, you know, you're like, oh wow, there's potential here. It's really good.
Mm. It's not. Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we did a big premiere of this when it came out. This was a premiere, so we had all the popcorn buckets all done, the Cinema George mugs and everything with all the ice and all that. So nice. We did a proper kind of cinema visit for this. Oh. It was a little mini premiere. It was great. And it did not disappoint. Nope. And one of the few occasions that a particular person wanted to see a horror film, which I don't normally. So that was, you know, very, very cool. Bill asks, are these fast zombies or slow? Bill? They are both.
Yeah.
Because there are different types of zombie in this. And that's rare because most movies with zombies have got one or the other. This has both. So, yeah, well recommended. As I said, it's great. Just need another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was the movie Zach should have turned into a Rebel Moon style 3 hour plus multiple movie extravaganza. And if I ever meet him, it's the first thing I'll say to him.
There you go.
And then he'll tell me to get lost. Nice. But still, yeah. So yeah, this is the culmination of the Zack Snyder and zombie movies coming together.
Nice. Cool.
There you go.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have? You got three in. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do those all in one?
If you want to. Yeah, we can do.
I forget which one. I don't know. These aren't in order, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you're okay. It's all right. None requires a particular order.
Is this
I would
one,
save the
first
one that
one?
You know.
Nope.
Yeah, save the one that you know I'm going to rave about till last. Oh. But this one, yeah, we could do this one next year. This is all the same one. These are just the same different shots of the menu.
Oh, okay.
Because they're so cool. Yeah. A bit like we did before, you know, with the first one. This is the.
I thought you'd seen all three. All right, here we go. Let's keep everybody in suspense no longer.
All righty. So this then is, it was Star Wars Day, of course, on Saturday with May the 4th. Was it Saturday? Yeah, it was Saturday, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then Revenge of the 5th, of course, on Sunday. And in between attending police stations, basically nonstop, I managed to finally start the 4K UHD Dolby Atmos discs of The Mandalorian Season 2. I mean, I've had it since release and just have not got round to it. So chuck this in. And there, as I say, and as with the first season, anyone that's got the discs will know that the menus on these are beautiful. So these are the kind of concept art or animated depictions of things in there. So I took three pictures because it was just so good. I couldn't not do it. Yeah. So you got that one as well. And then the other one, we've got little baby Yoda as well. There you go. Fighting his bowl of whatever that is. Yeah. Grogu. That's him. Yeah. Of course it's Grogu. I know that. Just testing. So there we go. So I'm about four or five episodes into season two. And of course the episode you're going to really want to know about in terms of how good it looks in 4K on physical media is episode one, where we get our ratio changes. It looks phenomenal.
Really?
It's really good. Yeah. And of course, this is really the first time I think they properly fixed the brightness issues that plagued season one. So you had the black levels were gray at times and very flat. And it is clear, I think, between season one and two, bearing in mind there were other things they were shooting, that they had fixed the brightness levels on the volume so that you could get proper black levels and they could match it without a problem, which I think is what we kind of speculated was the issue previously. This begins with a dark shot. Some might wonder whether the first shot of season two is meant to correct the first shot of season one, because season one's first shot is gray, isn't it? And it just looks flat as anything. And the very first shot of season two, in terms of after you've got the previously on, you've got him walking in at night. And he's walking and there's graffiti on the walls as he's going to meet his contact at the Gamorrean guard fights. And it's inky black. And it looks, and it looks three dimensional. It looks great. And I'd forgotten this is how it started, actually. I just assumed it started in the desert, but of course it doesn't.
Right.
And as he's walking in the darkness and as he's looking, you see all the detail on the graffiti on the walls. And of course, there's the little red eyes of the creatures that are on that planet who will come into play later in the episode. And they stick out really well against the black. You know, it looks great. Straight away, you're like, oh, okay. There's been a change here. You know, they've done some work on this and it looks awesome and noticeably different deeds straight away to the Disney Plus versions, you know, instantly. So that's all right at the beginning. Then you get to Tatooine, you know, spoiler alert. I mean, you can see it there. Yeah. You get to Tatooine and then of course you get, Timothy Oliphant turns up with the Boba Fett armor and the every little mark and every little paint fleck and chip and every little dent on the armor, which of course has been partially digested and, you know, and been, and stored with Jawas for God knows how long. And all of that now is crystal clear and looks really well resolved in the 4K. And this is, you know, we know because we've seen the episodes, but it's just the hors d'oeuvre. This is just the appetizer for what is to come, because then you get to the Krayt dragon sequence. And the bit where the ratio changes is better now than ever. And of course they play with that, don't they? They don't just flick to it. Move into the screen as the bars go. So there's a push in as the bars come up like that. So, you know, be ready, that's Nelson, nice. If you're watching it with your 16:9 screen.
That's not going to work.
It down. No. So it absolutely, you feel yourself moving towards the screen. I mean, at least I did.
Yeah.
You feel yourself moving towards it. The bars go up and it cuts. There's a quick, shortcut there to then of the two Mandalorians stood up. So obviously, Din Djarin and Timothy Oliphant, the marshal stood there, and you watch the leap in detail, the change in detail from what is already a detailed shot to this suddenly much bigger thing. And it's like, whoa. And it there is a definite jump in the detail levels straight away. And then of course that whole action sequence takes place in 185 before it then goes back to this fun 235 kind of, you know, it goes back the same way as it came in, as it were.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's the only one in the whole series though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The only one of any of them so far, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've all been shot scope or 235, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. So yeah, but this was directed by Favreau, wasn't it? Who's a home theater fan.
Yeah.
And you get the impression that he's kind of playing with it. Look what we can do.
Yeah. I remember when that was, that came out and I was like, I put my masking up because the entire first season was scope. So I put my masking up and then all of a sudden that scene, I was like, oh no. You got to take it down. So I had to back it up, take it down, watch it again. But it's like there should be a warning or something before you start for people like us that have masking or something. Or if you're watching, like, how does that work if you're already on a scope screen? Right.
So yeah, now you're going to miss it, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to miss it. It's going to go up. Well, I guess it works like my masking would. So yeah, it's like, or in my case, I could, cause I do have, like when I watched Maverick, I put, the Lumigen scopes it for me the whole movie. Mm-hmm. So when it does go, nothing goes there. So I could do that and just keep it scoped the whole way, but it is pretty cool that they do. I like when they mess around like that. And I know people with scope screens don't really like it very much, but,
but I think you'd lose something if you didn't do that. Cause it's clearly a fun little thing for those of us that care. Cause most, I genuinely think, again, I mean, you were talking with Rob H today, weren't you, about the, you know, and Rob was talking about the 100,000 people and then across the 8 billion that are interested in this. And then the 0.001% of that 100,000 or whatever it is. But I would be willing to bet that, you know, 7.999999999999 billion people on the planet don't even notice the ratio change, even though it goes big and back. Then what? Oh, who cares?
Probably 7.99999 billion people of that. There's probably like only 5% that know what the Mandalorian is.
I don't know about Star Wars. Yeah. It's probably a few more know about Star Wars, but certainly not the ratio change.
You'd be surprised.
But it's so cool.
Right.
Well, quite. Yeah. So yeah, and so obviously after that, it does go back to scope, and yet still the other episodes still look and sound great.
Yeah.
Second episode with the ice creature, which I always thought was a bit of a weird episode, now sounds great with all the little critters going around the room, and they come over the room, and then you can hear them thundering after Din Djarin and the little frog thing. So it's this is well worth picking up. I mean, I think you've got them, haven't you, Deej? You just haven't seen them yet?
Yeah.
You've got them?
Yeah. I want to see the final episode.
That's what I'm moving towards, yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't know how I don't just – well, I do know how I haven't yet, but it's like, you know, like how you don't like, all right, let's just jump to that. It's kind of like that scene there is like – but that's more than just a home theater scene. It's just a fun scene. Whereas like when I got Game of Thrones season 8 set, you had to jump right to the long night. Oh, what is it? The long night, dark night or whatever, long night. And it was like episode 3 and you're like, all right, I got to see this in physical media, you know? So, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've not jumped to the end. I'm being good. I'm going through it. And then I think I've got two more to go, but the next one's where we get Boba Fett. And that's very cool. And then after that, we then get that episode, which I can't wait, but they look fantastic. And obviously over there, you guys have got Andor out over there now, haven't you? And Obi-Wan and all that stuff. We've got to wait a couple of weeks for that. But if they look anywhere near as good as this does, and I firmly believe they will, then they are well worth picking up because they are excellent. Yeah. And you know, we need to support this stuff. If Disney are going to make this stuff available, and in the quality that it is, then you know, we really ought to. So, very good. Really good. I'm looking forward to when they announce Ahsoka because that should be another jump again.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I know you really liked Ahsoka. Mm. You're like,
love the change in the sound quality in the video. So yeah, bring that on, man. That'll be great. Might be by the end of the year, hopefully. Yeah, maybe for the holidays.
Yeah. where's my other one? The one I took. There it is. I don't know why it wasn't up before. I have a scene for this week. Another scene. This is from Iron Fist. Let me pull it up here since I do have a graphic for it. And here we go. All right. Yeah, this is Iron Fist, season 1, episode 7, called Felling Tree with Roots. And this comes at, it's a factory warehouse attack, and it's at about 49:18. And it's really cool because it's not a spoiler or anything like that. Somebody, you know, the lights go out, and typically in shows and movies, when the lights go out, you're like, it gets quiet, but this one didn't. It's like the lights won't go out. HDR is really nice. It is in 4K, but this isn't an Atmos. It is 5.1, but, people are talking, scrambling all around, not really loud, but chaotic. So sound is filling the room. Sounds really cool. Then the gunfire happens. All right. And then it's like really nice. Like every channel. So you've got the gunfire, you got ricochets going, but then you go outside the room. Tons of detail, by the way, when you're in the room, tons of detail. We'll get to a little bit of that in a second. Then you go outside the room to a character, like he's walking towards that room. And so you can hear the gunfire muted because he's walking towards a door and the gunfire is all muted at the front of your room. So then there's a jump cut to him. Now you're looking at the side of him as he's looking at the door. So appropriately, the muted sound now sounds like it's right outside my room on the left wall because you're looking at his left side. Cool. It was really cool. And then you go back inside the room and you get the detail and stuff like that. But what I had fun with, this was all one morning. It was a little drizzly out, so I had a little bit of extra time. This is all in 5.1. So I took it out of my upmix. When you take it out of the upmix, you don't have the same depth. not just in height, but you don't have the same depth, like, away from you. The sounds that were further, like, everything just feels like goes like this in your room, gets closer to you. It still sounds really good. If all you ever had was a 5.1 system, it sounds crazy. It sounds really, really good. But when you add in the upmix, and I added in, I typically add in Neural X, you add that in, everything, not just the elevation of, because it's going to engage your overheads, of course, but it's like the bullets now are ricocheting a little further away, even to the sides of you. So the detail that you're getting, it's, you know what I mean? It gives you a more dynamic sound field, makes your room bigger. It's not just about the height channels. It's about all the channels working together. And it was a really, really fun experiment. And this is a good scene to do it on because there's a lot of little details of like the, you got really nice gunfire with nice bass pops in it, but then you hear the ba-ding, ding, ding all around your room. And then obviously the contrast with going outside the room and you got, and it's like, and it's at the front of your room. And then all of a sudden it sounds like it's there. And again, how many times have I said it, Steve? If they never moved that sound to the side, nobody would care. But the fact they do, and it's crazy good, like how much it's on the side. Like I happen to have a door on that side of my room. Right there. So when he's looking at the door on the left side, my door is on the left side, and now the sound is on the left side, and you're just, and it's muted, and you're like, oh my God, it's so cool. It's so cool. So, and how many people are watching this on a laptop or on a TV with regular speakers?
Wow. You know, and
probably not many anymore.
Well, you know, I'm no comment. Yeah. The present company excluded, obviously. tell me this, Deej, because I, again, as you know, I haven't seen all of this series. Does he have the costume by this point, or does he not have the costume, the one from the comics?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No.
He does get it, doesn't he? He does get it at some point, doesn't he?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't remember it. I don't remember him getting a costume, even in season two. I don't think
it's like a yellow bandana, isn't it? Green.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like they do, in each of these, they never really get the costumes. They do, like, Punisher does his little spray paint thing. They make a joke about it. What's that? Daredevil gets his. Yes. Because, but like Jessica Jones, they make fun of the costume that she really had in comics. And they're like, I'd look ridiculous in this. And it's like, even Luke Cage is like, he'll wear certain t-shirts or something that'll be yellow or something, or like similar to the character, but it won't, it'll just be kind of like an homage to it, but it's not really, they never go full costume to bring more reality to it. You know, kind of like what they did with the X-Men. Remember X-Men in the early 2000s? They never went the blue and yellow. You know, they went more, not like more realistic of like, okay, you know, black leather.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they all look like they're in bike leathers at the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Did you see that, talking about that? Did you see Hugh Jackman interviewed about that, about Deadpool Wolverine this week, or might have been last week, saying that, you know, as soon as he put on the comic accurate costume, and obviously there's pictures everywhere, people know. He said, why didn't we do this before? Said it just felt right. It looked good. Yeah. It felt right. Just like, why did we not do this, you know, 24 years ago? When they had the chance
to do it.
I'll tell
you why, you're too tall. It's like, well, if you want to go comic accurate, Wolverine's supposed to be a short little guy, not a big hulking Hugh Jackman that's like, what's he, like 6'3"? It's like,
yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah, yeah.
Wolverine was always like 5'3". That was the point. He was like a little bowling ball that just like wreaked havoc. And it's like,
yeah, just as wide as he is tall.
Not that Jackman was bad. He was awesome, of course, but. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Right, there we go. Yeah, no, that's just
there you are.
Yeah, no, you're okay. It's, oh God, again, it's very warm in this room. No, my throat is drying out.
I'm also getting a delay from you today. I don't know if it's me on my end or if it's happening with everybody. Yeah, I'm missing every now and then some stuff. So, but that's, I get the gist. I'm getting most
of it. Fill in the details.
Fill it in. All right. You ready? You ready for this one? This here is interesting to me. I will just say that. You ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. So this then is another one in my occasional series of me filling in the blanks of horror movies, classic in air quote horror movies that I haven't actually seen. And this is one of them. Yeah. This is the original Japanese The Ring, or Ringu, as it's more appropriate, I'm sure, which I had not seen. And I hadn't actually seen the American remake of it either. I knew what the premise of the story was, because I think everybody kind of does, but I had never seen it. And it got released a couple of weeks ago on 4K Blu-ray, and credit where it's due. It was Jordan Carpenter who said to me, who DM'd me and said, oh, it's come out. Because, as I said, it's not really been on my radar. And I thought, well, okay, I'll pick it up. Now's a chance to see it. If I'm going to see it at all, you know, 4K is the way to go. So it's from Shout Factory, I do believe. And, yeah, so I had a bit of spare time last week, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a go. Now, have you seen it, Deej?
No. Oh, God, no.
No? Okay. I didn't know if this would be your kind of up your alley. Do you know what it's about?
No idea. I'd never heard of it. I saw your graphic and I was like, Ringu. And then I look in just at the blurry image there. I'm like, Ringu Starr? I'm like, well, I don't. I never heard of this.
Not the, what, The Ring? Never heard of The Ring or anything
the
like
ring,
that?
The Ring, I have.
Not Lord of The Ring.
No.
Yeah. Well, this is the Japanese original. So The Ring was the American remake of this. Okay. So the story is, you know, yeah, exactly that. So the story being, a video cassette. I mean, this is back in 1998. So those dim and distant days where clearly DVD had yet to take off in Japan, it would seem, because this film is about someone that sees a video cassette, you know, ask your parents, kids, a video cassette, which you put in and then it shows an unusual and unsettling little movie. And then the phone rings. And if you say, I've seen it, 7 days later, you know, shuffle off this mortal coil. And that's kind of what it's about. And the Japanese version is the original. So I figure that's the one to see. And you know, it's a journalist who becomes aware of this and then it kind of goes from there. Now it was the first time I'd seen it. As I said, I knew what the setup was, but it's the first time I'd seen it. And as I'm watching this, and I did enjoy it, but as I'm watching it, my lawyer brain would not let go. So I'm constantly pushing at the rules. So I'm thinking, well, what happens if I don't have a landline? What if I don't pick up the phone? What if it goes through to voicemail? Do I still die 7 days where I don't pick up the phone? What if I only watch the video with one eye open? Do I get 2 weeks? And I'm just constantly thinking of ways to frustrate the rules. This is like Gremlins all over again.
And that's why I have a hard time with these horror movies. I think I went through that with a couple of the horror movies that you've recommended. And I was like,
Malignant was one, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely was one. Yeah. And that's, I think, why, like, Evil Dead Rise, I'm like, I didn't know the rules. I didn't know there were rules. All I knew was I came into it. Everything happened. I'm like, I didn't know why. That was dumb.
Easy.
Well, no, them's from my perspective, doesn't exactly. But that's my ignorance of the series, right? Because I'm like, that was dumb. Yeah. No, it's not dumb. It means this and this. Oh, I hadn't seen the other 22 movies or whatever it is. But yeah, it's. I mean, hey, my negativity is based in ignorance. I haven't seen the Evil Dead series. So now they're rising, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, you don't need to care about that. Just blood, guts, gore, and it looks and sounds great. That's what you need for Evil Dead Rise.
My artist brain goes, we did all that. It's too fake.
Yeah, we've done that. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
Well, that's it. So there's definitely that with this. And my brain would not quite let go of that. And I was kind of finding myself ways to frustrate this. You know, what if I put the phone on divert and it calls my boss or something? You know, does he even have to do it? I mean, what the hell? You know, could you have all kinds of fun with that? So I couldn't quite let go of that. And the premise is a little silly. And of course, it's quite quaint now, isn't it? Watching, you know, video cassettes, like, what? You know, it was all very odd. And if you didn't rewind it, I mean, the next person that gets it's going to be really irritated. So it is kind of quaint, and it is a little, it doesn't really hold up, but it was interesting, and it's a quite a cleverly told story, even though, you know, that happens. And it's quite tragic, and there is tragedy in this, and the story behind the video has, you know, real meaning to it and pathos. And this is in its original Japanese. It's DTS HD 5.1. It's subtitled, not the only subtitled movie that we're going to be talking about this week. But it's really, really good. And I did enjoy it. I mean, I'm not sure how often I'd watch it. I'll keep it in the collection because it is a classic horror movie and I acknowledge and accept that, but I'm not sure how many times I'd rewatch it. I mean, it looks great in terms of its, you know, it was obviously quite a low budget movie in 98. But it's been well restored from the original camera negative. So there's grain, but it's really well looked after. It's not intrusive. The colors are good. Detail levels are decent for a movie of that age. It's decent. I think if you want the movie and you like the film, and there are people in the chat that seem to really like it, then I think this is the one to get. Time to trade in your Blu-ray, because it does look really good. I enjoyed it. And actually, one of the things that did strike me as I was watching this is I watched it on a Wednesday afternoon, I think it was. Beautiful sunlight outside. And the thought occurred to me, how lucky are we, those of us with our dedicated rooms, who can go in there at any time of the day or night, shut the door and make it pitch black. And so you are, as far as you're concerned, anyone knows it's a midnight movie and you can just kind of watch it. And that thought did strike me. And I was thinking, well, this is the way to see it. Pitch black, just let the film envelop you and just kind of go with it. So very, very lucky to have that.
It's funny.
And
I was thinking when talking with Rob, and we were talking about I've said on the show, like, we want our theaters to get closer to an anechoic chamber than two channel listening, right? So that was, if you haven't heard today's Takeover Tuesday with Rob, we really deep dive into that. But one of the scenes that I would love to see, especially in my new theater, because the sound treatment in there is going to be insane. And the set, you know, even if it's the existing setup, just one of the, and I acknowledged all this 20 years ago when I did this room, I was trying to, you can elevate your room, your sound in your room by eliminating exterior sound, any exterior sound. So like when I first started, I didn't have a projector. I had a TV in the wall, so I had no ambient sound in the room. I didn't have the room treatments. I didn't have the knowledge that I have now back then of how to treat the room. But anyways, the closer you get to an anechoic chamber in your room without that extra sound bouncing around, and that one scene that I can't wait to see is the one from, is it Kill Bill 1 or 2 when she's buried alive?
2 in the coffin.
Coffin. Imagine that sound. Imagine the ambient sound in that. And the lack of it, if your room is dead silent as well as dead dark, right? Creepiness, right? Like in the Takeover Tuesday, I use that office example from Hunt for Red October. And I realized afterwards I was talking about this with a buddy of mine, and I was like, I kept saying Harrison Ford. I was like, Harrison Ford's in the office.
Sean Connery. Yeah.
No, not Sean Connery. It was Alec Baldwin and in Greer's office, in James Earl Jones's office, right?
Yeah.
And I kept saying, I don't know why Harrison Ford. I think he was he was him once.
Jack Ryan and Clear and Present Danger and Patriot Games.
my point was the more you can eliminate that sound in your room, the more you're going to pick up on those little sounds of people typing in the background or vent fans going in the background. And it's just really, really cool. But that one dark scene that scene in Kill Bill 2, that's going to be creepy as heck. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Well, if you're claustrophobic, that particular scene is really difficult. And funny enough, you've just triggered off a thing as well. I need to rewatch Buried with Ryan Reynolds, where the whole film is in the coffin.
Yeah.
He never gets out of it. Spoiler alert, I suppose, but still, that's a movie that I need to see.
It's kind of in the title.
Well, it is. This is true. But the whole movie's in there. There's never, yeah. you know,
I've
never,
never seen away from that.
It. It's never- if you are vaguely claustrophobic, and I'm not, but I know from people that are, that they watched that film in the cinema and were, and literally were pulling off the armrests in
you ever
in
been sort of in a terror. Coffin?
No, not recently. I mean, I often cough, but I've never been coughing.
That's a good. I wasn't claustrophobic.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. I used to work at a casket factory, the warehouse. So they get right down, not down the street. It's like a few towns away from me. I worked for them for probably 15 years doing what I do, painting. And it's like, so they'll come in from the factory and they'll be damaged. And they gotta, you know, instead of shipping it all the way back to the factory and have them repaint them, they would have me do it. Mm. And I, and like I said, I did that for like 15 years. You go into this warehouse and they're all standing up like refrigerator. It looks like a refrigerator warehouse, but they're all caskets.
Oh,
so
man.
One of the first times they're like, yeah, the guy that was there, he has since passed away. The guy that brought me in, he was like, you ever been in one? I'm like, no. And he goes, you want to get, I think he was just trying to test me. He's like, you want to get in one? I was like, can you? He goes, yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't want to make it dirty. He goes, no, your feet won't hurt it. He goes, that's the end nobody sees. Okay. So I climbed in, he closed it. And he's like, don't ever do that by yourself because you could get locked in and they are airtight. They're designed that way. But yeah, it was, I was just like, I was fine. That was fine.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's I've never been one. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I mean, I like I said, I'm not superstitious, but I don't think that it would just be weird. And I'm, like I said, I'm not claustrophobic. It would just be odd.
Well, there's no superstition. But an
interesting thing to have done.
No, we're all going to end up there someday.
The Spanish, would say that, well, hopefully, as far as we know, but the Spanish would have have issues with that. And they have ways, they're very superstitious about the dead and what happens after you'd pass and all this stuff. And growing up around that, I think I'd find that, I think superstitiously wise, I don't think I'd want to do that, but that's just a personal, thing, it's interesting. Were you ever tempted to sort of paint fingernail marks inside?
No.
Open it up and then you just got the marks down. No. This was one from earlier. This one came back.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things they said. They
this was a return.
Pricing and stuff. They're like, you don't have to worry about these things coming back. Like, I hope not. It's kind of dirty.
That's it. Well, there you go. So, to get back to the sound, like I say, that will be an awesome scene. That bit in Kill Bill, volume 2 will be great. I mean, it's a heck of a sequence anyway. Oh. And again, the muted sound of them walking over the above, the squeak of the nails as they're being hammered in as well. And then the splintering of the wood that you can hear is such a detailed thing. Comes out of nowhere, that scene as well.
Yeah.
There's nothing as audio layered in any of the rest of either of the Kill Bill movies quite like that. And so I don't know quite what Tarantino was doing there, because he's not normally someone who's that bothered about audio. So that's a pure audio scene.
Yeah.
But it was great though.
But I think that's the point too. He's big into his music in his movies.
Yeah.
And he'll play like what was it? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The radio playing throughout that, throughout the movie. And it's like, he's very particular about sounds like that. And I think he took that coffin scene or the buried scene as an opportunity to be like, this is the exact opposite of the rest of the movie. And I think that really, especially for home theater fans, if you're in, like you said, a dedicated room, could be noon on a sunny day and you're like, I remember watching that with my wife in the theater and we were just like, oh my God, it's just awesome. It really sets the mood, if you will.
Oh yeah. Well, it's true. Well, we are lucky to have these rooms. I mean, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And as I said, in a horror fan like what I am, and a horror fan that has to take his chances to see movies when I get chance, I can't always leave it till late at night. It's nice to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go in, shut the door, pitch black, the only light coming is from the screen. Everything else is dark, and you can then create that mood. So yeah, it is definitely something that those of us with home theater dedicated rooms that are light controlled are extremely lucky to have. So yeah, it's very cool. But there we go.
Cool.
Anyway, right, next one. Moving
all
on.
Right. This isn't really a home theater scene, so I'm not going to roll the tape, but I'll just put a little graphic up. Another one from Iron Fist. This I thought was funny, and I wanted to talk to you. It's a line in the movie, okay? And I thought maybe you have a martial arts background. Maybe you would – did they do a play on words here? Or is this really the way it is? And I've been backwards my whole life. So episode 8, season 1, The Blessing of Many Fractures, at around the 46-minute mark, Danny Rand's in a fight with a character. And the character he's fighting, the person he's fighting, is talking trash to him the entire time. It's like – and then Danny says, the Iron Fist, Danny says, quote, "A man fights with his mouth when his fists are lacking," end quote. And that struck me because it's the exact opposite of what I was taught and what got me beat up a lot as a kid. Because it did. Because it was like people used to like, when I was a kid, going back to even before I knew, like, so what I used to call it, I used to call it the Neanderthal instinct. And I'd literally say that to people, but it goes back to even before I knew what like a Neanderthal was. That was probably junior high into high school. And when I started that, but even in grade school on the playground, it's like kids would come up to you and say stuff that like, you're not even allowed to say today. You'll get arrested, but they'd call you these names. They didn't know what the names meant, but they would say something. But then I would say something back to them. And then inevitably, like my entire life, I was an adult waiting to punch out at a factory. And I went through this with a guy. And I said, I was like, he called me a name or he made fun of me or something. So then I made fun of him back. He goes, "You want me to kick the blank out of you?" And I was like, typical Neanderthal instinct. You realize you're in a battle of wits and you're going to lose. So you go to physical and you're going to beat me up. "Yeah, I want to kill you." "All right. You're still going to be stupid." And I got my ass kicked. And that's what always happened. But then this line comes up and I'm like, doesn't that feel like it's the opposite of what it really, and now I like the show. I like that. But doesn't it, I feel like it's, that's the exact opposite of what people should be saying. No.
Yeah, I mean, what I take from that, bear in mind, I haven't seen the series and I haven't got the context of the line other than literally having heard you just say it. But, you know, what I take from that is it's the quiet ones you've got to watch. The mouthy ones, the ones who give it the, you know, "Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that," tend to be predictable. You can see where it's going. Yes. You can see what's coming. The ones to be worried about and to be wary of are the quiet ones. One, they tend to be, they don't need to shout and they don't need to mouth off because they're confident in what they can and can't do. And also, of course, you've got to be wary of the sucker punch. Those are the people to be more wary of than someone stood in front of you going, "I'm going to kick your head in." Okay. Well, I know you're there and I can see you and I can weigh up who you are and I can do what I need to do. So that's what I take from that. And having spent some time with some people that can't tell you in which regiment they served, not talking about the color of the boathouse in Hereford, to go back to Ronan. Having spent some time with these guys, you know, again, they're very small, they're very quiet, and they're very unassuming, and you never want to upset one of them. Because they don't, I mean, that, you know, it's like that, it's gone, that's you know, done. So that's what I take from that line, but that might be me misinterpreting it without context.
That is a great explanation. Cause you're right. In that context, it's like, I was looking at it like how to avoid a fight, right? It's like, if you can't talk it out, why do you go physical? And that was through my personal experience. What would happen? I'm like, oh, great. So you can make fun of me. And when I make fun of you back, you got to beat me up only because you know you can't, right? But to your point, you're right. It's the quiet people, the people that if you're bragging that you're great at fighting, you're probably not. Right. Because, and you never know who you're talking to. So, it's, you know, it's, if you're walking around going, "I'm going to do this." Okay. Knock yourself out. Yeah.
Well, quite, well, I deal with clients who are under the influence, who've got behavioral problems, mental health issues, whatever it might be. And I always take the view that the quieter one is the one to be wary of.
Yeah.
You've got the client because they get upset. They've been in the sales for a long time. It's very rare because normally we're there to help them and they see that and they're okay. But every now and then you'll get one who does not compute, you know, does not see the difference. All they see is someone in their way who is talking to them and they may not understand it or get it clear. And they're very, very amped up.
Right.
And I always take the view, those ones who are mouthing off are the ones who are very easy to deal with. And, you know, I don't, whatever you might say, I mean, I'm quite happy to give as good as I get. And so if they, you know, if they mouth off and I find, you know, a very, very robust response verbally, I hasten to add, is enough to suddenly make them shrink. You know, it's the bully thing, isn't it? You know, you stand up to the bully, they back down. And they're the ones to be aware that I don't think have to worry too much about those because they're coming straight at you. You know what you've got, you know who they are and you know, yeah. You do what you do. You, as I said, it's the quiet ones, the ones who don't have to talk. They're the ones you need to be very careful about.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear it, don't you? You hear it all the time with, you know, killers and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
They always seem so quiet.
Quiet guy.
Yeah, kept himself to himself. They're the ones to watch out for. You know, we talked before about the, actually, no, I wasn't with you. Forgive me. It was with Carl Ellsworth, before the show we did. And I was talking to him about the banality of evil. You know, the people who really, really go there are the ones you would never imagine it. They are very quiet and very unassuming right. because if they stand out, they get caught.
Right.
The ones who are particularly nefarious are quiet because, yeah. and they just go under the radar. They don't wear black hats and twirl their mustaches.
No. Nope.
You know, that's not how they operate.
You learn that early. Well, we did. I don't know if people learn it as much today, but yes, you're absolutely right. And it's like the kids, the people that are just like, there's a reality that is on all to them and they don't feel the same. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, we got some stuff going on in the chat about it, stuff like
that. Yeah, sorry. I'm curious about talking about that stuff all night.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But let's get back. Let's get a little bit of home theater here. He's like, Keith saying in the chat, oh my God, DJ, I lost sleep listening to you and Rob going back and forth over the difference of how to calibrate the sound. And I'm like, I know. And I think it was like, it was funny because we were going back and forth and I kept saying, I'm like, it's two different rooms. That's all it is. It's like, you got to have two different rooms. So, there's no one answer for everything because one, everybody's different and two, it's two different kinds of sound. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. And you know what is funny? We ended the show and I had to get back to work. Rob and I recorded that on an early morning show. It was 6 a.m. his time, 9 a.m. here. I'd worked at the house, came here, and then got back. And I say at the end of the show, I was like, all right, I really can't hang out and talk. We did. I was like, I'm looking at the time. I had stuff to do. I ended up working late. But I'm like, Rob and I have such a good time. And it's, I mean, it was so much fun. But I couldn't wait for people to hear it. And I'm getting comments already. I've already talked to Paul Hurd a little bit before we jumped on the show. I got a couple of texts. He sent me a long email. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I'm sure there's going to be differences. People are going to side with Rob. People are going to side with me or blah, 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 whatever. But it was so much fun. And that to me is what makes home theater fun. And I did say one of the things that he doesn't like, and he said it on the show, he doesn't like the negativity, right? The bad comments. And I said to him after the show, I go, you guys don't have this. I said, it's tough on AV Rant. You can't say that stuff. You can't say this to your people. But I go, I get negative comments every now and then. I said, but you know what really limits it? Just saying, wow, that's a great point. Come on, I'll take over Tuesday. And then what happens then?
Yeah.
Where'd they go? Oh, where'd who go? Yeah. It's so funny because I'm like, come on, let's debate it. Let's have some fun with it. Nope. You get nothing. It's so funny. So that is one of the things though. It's like people want to be negative and it's like there's not really negativity. I think it's just two different points. Neither side's wrong, but I don't know what. And that's what I said with Rob. I'm like, why are people arguing about this? There's nothing to argue about. It's like set a room up like this, set a room up like that, whatever. All right, let's get to this room. I know this wasn't about the home theater experience because it was just a screener, correct?
Oh, yeah, but I've got enough to say about it. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. So perhaps we should just do this review in Japanese.
Can you do that?
I do speak some Japanese, but nowhere near enough. I'll just scream like it's something big, you know. Godzilla, Godzilla. So this is Godzilla. Godzilla, yeah, Godzilla, Godzilla. So this is Godzilla Minus One, a film I have been dying to see, which I missed in the theaters over here. It passed me by because at that point I didn't realize what kind of movie this was. And by the time I had got an inkling of it, it had been and gone. And of course, it has become famous for pretty much disappearing. There is a big multi-disc release coming out in Japan that we are told has no English subtitles. So that's no good. We were told it was coming out on Amazon, which it did, but only in Japan. There doesn't seem to be, at least as far as I know, Jordan is my guru on this. So Jordan will tell me if I'm wrong on this, but there does not seem to be any release date for it either in the US or in the UK, either streaming or even worse on physical disc. And I'm here to tell you, Deej, that is a crime. And that there's not really any other word for it. It should be a criminal offense to not release this immediately to the universe, let alone planet Earth. I've got to say, I sat down and I watched this on Sunday afternoon. It is a screener. I can't really go into kind of how I saw it because it's someone who let me have access to it that probably shouldn't have done. Anyway, so it's a screener. Now, it was in 1080p and it was in 5.1. And it's, you know, so it's in deep, very good quality, but not what we obviously would expect. I watched it because I couldn't stop. This film is exceptional.
Yeah.
I loved just about every second of this film. I can't praise it enough. This would have been my film of last year, I think, in terms of meaningful movies. It is fantastic. A movie about, and it's a film where, interestingly, where Godzilla doesn't need to be in this film. I'm very glad that he is, or it is, but he doesn't need to be. This is a movie that has a story about its human characters that doesn't require Godzilla. It's a story about war guilt. It's about survival. It's about trying to find yourself after this horrendous world leveling World War II has ended. It's about finding a family and about finding your place and facing up to certain death. And that's all the human characters. And then into that comes Godzilla. Even as I say, it sounds silly, but in the movie, it has a real poignancy to it. And the ending to this is genuinely emotional, and you'd never think in a million years you'd say that about a Godzilla film, but it's exceptional. So you've got that, and yet with also in addition to that, then even the 1080p video quality on this shows you just how good the 4K disc, if eventually we get it, will be. It's been shot digitally. They've shot it with a decent budget, so it's got scope and scale. And this should be an absolute demo disc for Dolby Atmos. And I got that even with the 5.1 in terms of, my goodness me, how good is this going to be? It begins, the very first shot is of a plane over the top of the camera. So it's a kamikaze plane, and you've got the plane and you've got the bomb underneath it, and the camera follows that plane. So it comes over the head, and it stays overhead for 30 seconds, 40 seconds as it's flying and it's coming into land. So it begins with that. And then you get a sequence with Godzilla who is changing in this. He's changing in terms of his size. He's growing. And so you get a nice kind of, I'm not going to spoil it, but you get a nice kind of incident attack, and then a sequence later in the film, which, I mean, it's hard to describe it. It's got a shot that looks like just incredible. And then Godzilla unleashes power which should be world ending in the cinema room. I mean, it really should. And it is fantastic. So I watched this film with just blown away. The more I could have watched it again, the second it finished, and enjoyed it all over again. It is exceptional. I mean, I appreciate I'm telling people what you already know. Okay.
Yeah.
But having seen it,
we do that a lot around here.
We do.
A lot of people know stuff and we're like, this was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, we knew this in 1974. but I genuinely would say this is an exceptional piece of work. I mean, this is borderline art, DJ. And I mean that in the visual sense as well as the movie sense. It's awesome. I mean, it really is. I mean, and the visual effects, I mean, that's what it won the Oscar for, but it could have won Oscars for a number of categories. It is an amazing story and very, very moving as well. Godzilla is a secondary character to this. He doesn't need to be in this movie. I'm glad he is, as I say, but he doesn't need to be. There is genuinely
going to be a Godzilla moving in your Godzilla movie.
Right? Yeah. Well, but you don't miss them because you've got this story.
Where
that
was
is
this attitude
told.
With, Monarch?
Oh, God. Yes. Whoever wrote Monarch, yeah, should got these guys in.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Cause there is beauty in the story in this. And right. It's so simple. It's really well told. And when the character who we follow through this finally does what he does, you feel that emotion. It's earned. It seems so crazy to be talking about a Godzilla film like this. Cause normally, as you know, when we talk Godzilla, we talk about smashy, bashy, crashy. We the human characters are the pain in the backside. That's why we didn't like, John and I had issues with Monarch because characters were bloody annoying. But in this, it's a very different thing. And of course, it's set in the 40s, right after the Second World War. And of course, there's a Japanese perspective in terms of mass destruction. Because of that. And obviously Godzilla is always a cipher for nuclear weapons anyway. But it's very, very well told in this particular way. I love this, Deej. I really did. This is a 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5. And this is on a screener.
Yeah.
A 4K. This could, and by the way, Deej, and you're going to go get lost when I say this. Oh. But if the disc is as, oh, I'm only kidding. If the disc is as good as I think it's going to be based on the screener.
Right.
This could rival Dune 2 for reference disc.
I have
heard
that.
Yeah, I don't say that lightly.
I have heard that. The first I heard about it, it was fun, listening to #Dork, and Rich and Ryan had seen it in the theater, right? Mm. And I hadn't had a chance to see it in the theater. And out here, it was one of those movies that I knew I wanted to see it in, like, all its glory, and I didn't want to see it on the crappy small screen in the multiplex here. So I didn't go to see it. But then listening to Rich and Ryan, and they were like, this is going to be, and they mentioned us. They're like, this is a home theater movie. This is going, the bass in this theater, it was just amazing. And they were raving about it. And I'm like, I'm like, I can't wait for this. But it just hasn't come out. I'm like, we've got a few comments here. It's Keith starting with, he's like, oh my God, I was going to bring up Godzilla -1. I thought it was coming out on Amazon and had my son all ready to watch it. So upset. Oh, it was never there. And then Jordan is saying, you cannot contain the power of Godzilla. Is that how they say it? Yeah.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Nothing on physical releases yet for Godzilla -1, but it did take close to an entire year for Shin Godzilla to release physically in the US and UK. So there's a little bit of history. Van Gool saying, mid-level media thinks we could get a 4K soon. And then, Bill says, I can listen to Steve describe a movie he's excited about all day long. Just fantastic.
Can't help it.
I know.
It just exudes from me when I see something like this.
Yeah.
And funny enough, DJ, I showed someone else, a little bit earlier this evening, some parts of it because he was asking about it. And I thought, well, I'll show this thing. And having seen it, this person was just like, I need to see that.
Yeah.
And this is not someone that would normally see something in Japanese, but it's like, I need to see that. I need to see it.
Yeah.
And this was just little snippets. So, I mean, I think had we all known it would disappear after its theatrical release. I think we might have all made the effort to see it however we could have seen it.
Right.
Because I would have, you know, but we just thought, well, it's all right. 3 months. It'll be out in 4K.
It's a Godzilla movie. How bad could it? I mean,
how hard could it be?
Yeah, it's going to come out and I can wait to see this in my theater because I know it's a Godzilla movie. It's going to be, but then to find out the movie is fantastic. And then it's like, it's just so well done that you could see it. Like, I know you've done screeners in the past and you've been like, it's only stereo. Or it's, you know, you'll get them. But that's why when you put this in and I saw the note that it was a screener and I'm like, uh-oh, I can't wait to see how this plays because I haven't heard a bad review of this yet.
Oh, man.
Audio, video, or movie-wise. So, it's going to be a great day. We will get it. I have no doubt about that. I mean, they released it in the U.S. Why wouldn't we eventually get it physically or in some form or even streaming in some form?
Well, quite, and it's a cash cow. I mean, this is just money sat there waiting for them to hoover up because it'll be a ginormous release. Hoover up. Yeah. Just suck up the money. Yeah. Hoover. Not J. Edgar Hoover. there is a pile of money there around the world sat there waiting for to be handed over the second they announce it. So I don't really know what's happened with it. They certainly, like I said, they're releasing it in Japan. But I don't quite know why they haven't thought, well, look, all these people, they're jonesing for this. Let's give them what they want and let's make a ton of cash while we do it. I mean, I know it's saying in there, Keith's saying there that it was made with a small budget. Yeah. Well, for a Godzilla movie, it wasn't a small budget. Was it like 50, 60 million, something like that? So it's quite a big budget, I think, for this kind of movie in Japan.
For them,
Yeah. So I think it was quite big for them, but boy, can they make it, you know, even better and bigger.
Travis just joined us. Apparently he's like, Godzilla minus one. I don't know. I don't know. 4K disc in Japan, but no English subtitles. Like, yeah, we led off with that.
God, Travis.
Anybody else, I would have left it alone, but it's my buddy. So,
I will be front of the queue for this. I mean, the minute this gets released. It's a film that can be watched multiple times. And if you're a bit prone to teary moments, Deej, and some say that you are, then I think you'll be multitasking. Shut up. I think you'll find some quite moving bits in this.
Oh,
and some quite unexpected twists and turns in a nice way. It's really, really well done.
Do you see him as a baby, as a little gecko?
Geico. He's doing insurance ads and then he goes to Japan. He gets bigger and bigger.
He's got little puffs of smoke. Buy my insurance.
Or maybe he starts as a salamander, Deej.
Oh, you never know.
Godzilla Douglas that. Year One.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God.
The film's only 2 minutes long because it crawls out of its hole and you just step on it while you're building your house.
I would never do that. I wasn't going to build my house in the water. But we're not allowed to build anywhere near it because of these salamanders. So funny.
Maybe it's Godzilla getting his vengeance. Salamander comes back.
One of my buddies.
You took my home.
Yeah. I can't hurt animals. I can't do anything like that. The guy that did my garage, my buddy, he was like a little late. His employee started working at my house and he's like, oh, he went hunting. I was like, I didn't think you could hunt this time of year. And he shows up and he goes, yeah, turkey season open. I'm like, that's the one animal. Like if I was going to shoot something like bow hunting, I would.
I couldn't either.
But the one animal would be a turkey because they're just so like, they're kind of ugly, but stupid. But then I see them and I'm like, I almost texted him today. I was like, Eric, could you shoot this? I get to work at my dealership and there's a turkey just hanging out in the empty parking lot all by himself. He's looking at me like, I'm like, he just looks so cute. Like I can't shoot something that.
If I was starving, I could do it, but with your bare hands.
I look,
I'm the sort of person that picks up, you know, I catch flies and take them outside.
I pick up spiders in your hand and release them.
Couldn't hurt a fly.
Nope.
So, cause it just doesn't feel right. So yeah, the hunting thing's never quite, I never quite understood that. I mean,
You have to do it. I mean, it has to be done. It's like, if you didn't do it, like the deer population would be overrun. They actually bring people in for certain populations in certain areas. I respect it. And I'm sure I could do it if I didn't have a grocery store. Like, we all could do it if you're starving.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. But do they come when you shoot them? Do they come in the little plastic wrapping?
No.
Just do that afterwards. Oh,
okay. No. Oh my God. Let me see. I know I got to get going, but this is, this is funny. I got one. It goes way, way back. I'll have to find it for you for next week. I got one of a Thanksgiving picture I took. I sent to all my hunting buddies.
You ripping the head off a turkey.
No. Oh my God. Did I put it into favorites? I might have. Oh man. Where did it go? No. It's a good one. I'll find it for next week and I'll show you guys. But yeah, cause I gotta get going. But yeah.
No worries.
But it is it's a hunting picture. A picture I sent to all my
buddies. Oh, you have to show me. Yeah.
Guys,
okay.
Skate
you're
with.
Will
Yeah.
Just have a catch and release program. How do you feel about mosquitoes? Well, you know, I like them. I just need to get to know them better.
Well, if I could catch them, you can't. I got to kill, you know, I got one flying around right here right now and I'm like trying to get it, but I'm like, it's all right. But I feel the same way. I'm like spiders. I definitely don't kill spiders. Let them out. But yeah, pretty funny there stuff. All right. That's it for this week. We didn't talk Patreon. Patreon, all the sports. Thank you. I will get to that eventually. I'm sorry. we will have a chat at some point. But yes, I talked to Michael yesterday, about M-Wave. And I don't know what day I will be there, but I'm going to try to be there, on Saturday. But that seems to be the biggest day at M-Wave. Saturday, let me see. I put it in my calendar even. But I told him that, yes, I will be there. And he added me to the creator list. M-Wave, the 21st, 22nd, and the 23rd. I'm going to try to be there on the 22nd. It may be something as like a fly in the morning and maybe fly out Sunday morning or something like that. I got to figure out that's really, really tight scheduling with a lot of stuff that's going on here. But I definitely want to go and experience that. And I guess, and there are a lot of people going. I know Danny Speakers is going. He's driving out. I know Brockstar's coming up. I think Carl might be going. I mean, there's quite a few people that are going. So that will be a lot of fun. And I really do want to support him, Youth Man, on what he's doing there, what Michael's doing. He's really just trying to bring that whole CD experience. He's trying to bring from the listener's perspective or the consumer or the enthusiast perspective. So I'm really, really excited about what he's doing there. And, I'm hoping it grows every year, but yes, I will be there this year. Let's see what else, anything. Let's see. We got people chatting away. Sorry. I gotta go. it's so funny, but, anything else, Steve? Say hi to John.
No, I think we're done with.
I haven't even had a chance to talk to him recently. No, we were supposed to talk the other day, but of course life gets in the way.
Yeah.
So,
we'll let you go, Deej, because I know you've got stuff to do, man. Your daylight hours are dwindling.
Yes. The sun is going down. So, all right. Thank you, everybody. Amazing watching this chat. Travis, nice to see you. Thanks for popping in, buddy. Everybody, I think Greg, did he just pop in? I didn't see him earlier. Everybody in the chat. Awesome. And again, sorry, I'm not on Twitter, but if you need me, just email me dj@brightsidehometheater.com and say like urgent and I'll read it. But all right. Thanks everybody. Have a great week. You know what you gotta do.
Go push play.
What he said. Man.
Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.